Welcome to the MGX Crop Report conference call. I'm Joe Victor. I'll be the moderator. Today's commentary provided by Randy Martinson of Progressive Ag. Thank you, Randy, for taking time out of your schedule to provide the commentary. I'd like to remind you, opinions expressed in today's commentary are those of the commentator and not MGX. Nothing should be construed as a trading recommendation by MGX, its employees, or its members, and as the sole opinion of the commentator. After the commentary is complete, I'll ask for questions from members of the media. I'd also like to ask everyone on the call, please use the mute feature on your phone so as not to disrupt the commentary with background noise. With that, I'll turn over to Randy. Randy, go ahead.
Well, good morning, everybody. I guess, you know, we're talking a little bit before everybody started coming online about how, you know, we have to be prepared from USDA, because one thing that's been consistent this year is their inconsistency, and they kept showing it here again in this report. They didn't even really come with what we saw in the March or in the September numbers, didn't really follow through to what we would have expected to see in today's numbers either. But a breakdown of what we saw, I'll start off with spring wheat. You know, we saw some pretty good numbers there. The big part, of course, is that production was increased. We saw that coming through in the September small grain summary report. So we did see spring wheat production increase by 42 million bushels. Supply is actually increased by about 47. So that shows that we probably have about 5 million more million bushels of imports coming in. And although we did see use increase by about, domestic use went up by 45 million, so stocks for spring wheat only increased by about 2 million in this report, which isn't too bad considering that we saw production go up by as much as we did. Now, looking at wheat as a whole, we did see quite a change take place there. I mean, the harvested acres were increased by about 200,000, yield dropped by 0.2 of a bushel. In all, that brought in about 1 million bushels more production. Not a big deal, but when you look at the demand picture, and that seems to be where USDA focused this report on, is more on the demand side of the equation than they did on the production side, and for all three grains. We saw an increase of about 95 million bushels in feed use for wheat. That in turn, and then we saw a 50 million bushel decline in export. So we're basically, we're not going to export the wheat, we're going to feed it because of the high price of corn. That in turn left stocks dropping by about 44 million bushels here for wheat, which was a little bit of a surprise. The production numbers were on the bearish side as far as all three grains were concerned, but the demand side is where the friendliness came. USDA came in and they also left price for wheat unchanged in this report at about 810 is what they expect the average to be for the year. One other interesting note, overnight we did see an export sale to Japan. Japan came in and bought 152 metric ton of wheat with 75 million of that going to the U.S. and 20 of that metric ton being spring wheat. Looking at world wheat, that's where everybody was kind of paying attention to see what they were going to do with the world numbers, especially with Russia and Australia and over in Canada or up in Canada. What we did see was Australia's production was cut by about 1.2 million metric ton. Canada's production was cut by about 1.1 million metric ton. There was no change done in the Black Sea region, in the former Soviet Union, in Russia, and the Ukraine. Those numbers had very small changes, which kind of leads us to believe that we might not be seeing much of a follow-through with export bans or anything from that region. So, in all, the wheat number, again, production numbers came in a little bit, well, neutral. The demand side is what came in to be friendly, and that's what's helping to support that market. Now, switching over to the corn, which everybody was kind of, that was probably the most confusing of what everybody was expecting USDA to do, and they didn't do what anybody expected. We saw an increase in planted acres by 500,000, increase in harvested by 0.3. Yield actually decreased, which everybody was expecting to see yield go up. Beginning stocks were down by 193 million bushels, and that came from the September quarterly grain stocks report. But in all, we saw production drop by about 21 million. So with the lower stocks coming in and lower production, we saw supply drop by about 214 million bushels. USDA cut exports, which was expected because our exports haven't been holding up. But in the end, it still came in showing a stocks reduction, which was not expected by the trade, at least not to this tune, by 114 million bushels. That was friendly to the corn market. Price, though, dropped by about a dime. Last month, we had an average price from USDA of 790. This month, we're going to have it at 780. But it was friendly because of the destruction, or at least because of the increase in the demand and lower stocks, and that's what's helping to support the corn market today. Barley numbers really didn't see much of a change. I'll just throw that in quick. We did see stocks go up by about 19 million bushels, mainly because of a drop in feed demand by 25 million. So it looks like we're going to feed less barley and more wheat, and that's where that change came into play as far as upsetting a little bit in the barley numbers. Now looking at soybeans, I didn't expect to see any change in the acres, but USDA hiked both harvested and planted acres by 1.1 million acres. They increased the yield, which was expected by everybody in the trade. They increased it by 2.5 bushels to 37.8. Beginning stocks went up 39 million bushels, which was expected. We saw that in the September report as well. So production goes up 226 million bushels. That put our supply up 265 million bushels. That should have been a bearish number, but that was completely offset by an increase in crush by 40 million, increase in exports with a majority of it going to China by 210 million bushels. So we saw our demand increase by 250 million bushels in this report, and that brought stocks, that actually helped to increase stocks by a little bit. So in all, it should have been a little bit bearish as far as the soybean market was concerned, but yet soybeans have had a tough week most of the week, and now they're starting to see a little bit of a rebound as we see a little bit of bottom picking step into play there. So price was dropped for soybeans in this report. They went from $16 last month to $15.25 for the average for this month. And then as far as the world is concerned, it's a little early to do a lot of projecting, but the Argentina and Brazil numbers were left unchanged for their soybean production, and so far we've been seeing that that crop get in fairly good condition and pretty good rain. So in all, it was a little bit of a surprise. Everybody was expecting to see one thing, and of course USDA came out with another, which that is what we're getting used to seeing. In all, I think it was probably the most favorable towards wheat because we did see the not a big change as far as production was concerned, and we did see the demand up a little bit, which brought our stocks down. We also didn't see any change in a big change in the world numbers, which was a little bit helpful. So in all, I guess the report, looking at the production side, should have been a little bit bearish. The stock side came in to be friendly, and that's why the market's kind of jumping like it is.
Thank you for the commentary, Randy. And Al Dustin, do you have a question for Randy?
Yes, Randy, thanks. Let's go back to spring wheat where you started. Any thoughts on the outlook for spring wheat? We've seen the wheat market relatively strong related to corn and soybeans, but spring wheat certainly lost some of its premium over winter wheat. How do you see all this sorting out as we move through the winter here?
I think, you know, because of the quality, we had such good quality down in the winter wheat areas, and we had good quality up in the northern plains as well. I think that's why we lost a little bit of our premium, because wheat was wheat this year. They didn't need to use high protein to blend with the winter wheat, and that kind of pulled that premium away. I think, you know, we're having some dry conditions down in the southern plains, and that's, you know, hampering getting the planting done right now. We are also pretty dry up here. Going into the fall, we're sitting in a pretty dry area. I do think that spring wheat and wheat in general is going to have to continue to rally. I was a little disappointed that we didn't see a decrease in Russia's production because of what we've been hearing there with them exporting as much as they have been, with their drought, but we didn't see much impact. Western Australia is going to be the key right now that we have to keep an eye on. But I'm friendly wheat going forward. I think wheat's got to buy some acres when we get to spring, and I think wheat's got some opportunity to forge forward.
Thank you, Randy.
Al, do you have a follow-up question for Randy?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Thanks, Al.
WNX, Tom Ryder or Michelle Rook? Michelle, do you have a question for Randy?
Yeah, Randy, does this report solidify the harvest lows in corn and soybeans, and do you think this may bring some of this fund money back in that's been exiting the last few weeks?
You would ask that hard question. I think for soybeans it is going to solidify a low. I think right now with what we're seeing with the demand structure, production now was increased or had its changes. Now I think it's going to be more demand driven, and we're seeing an increase in demand. And if USDA keeps that pattern going, we definitely have put in a low, and this market has to go higher to ration the supply that's left. In my mind, beans never got high enough to ration supply. We were selling beans just as aggressive when we were at $17 as we have been now. Actually, we're selling them less now than we were then. Corn did do some demand destruction. That is going to be tough to get back up to its old highs because of the demand being, just so destroyed as it was. But I do think that, and seasonally, this is a time frame when soybeans do put in a bottom, and I do feel this is that time frame.
Right. Do the funds come back in here, Randy, or not?
I think they will. They have no place else to go with their money right now, so I think they'll come back into the market. And I think, I think a lot of this was maybe today was a little bit more, the start was the small trader coming in and buying, thinking that this is going to take off. We'll see a pullback, and that's when you'll see the funds come in.
Dan Grant, do you have a question for Randy?
Yeah, thanks. Randy, do you think that these numbers, USDA maybe had a little better handle on them this year as opposed to on average since harvest is further along?
Most definitely. I mean, these are actual harvest results, and I'm not going to argue with the yield. I mean, we're seeing a pretty good yield up here, and I know down a little farther south, I mean, basically, you get to that Nebraska-South Dakota border and south, they had a tough crop, especially in corn. Soybean yields have been coming in much better all over the place. But we've got so far into harvest, we're 30, 40% harvested when the survey was taking place, so... Yeah, I do think they've got a pretty good handle on where the yields are going to be.
Dan, do you have a follow-up question for Randy?
Not at this time, Joe. Thanks.
Thank you. Mike Herger, do you have a question for Randy?
So, Randy, as far as, I guess, corn primarily, do you expect a kind of a range-bound thing here, or where do you see corn moving?
I definitely think a range-bound is what corn will see, because we still have to get to a price where we know that demand will pick up a little bit as far as corn is concerned. And right now, we're not really seeing an increase in, we saw exports cut, feed demand wasn't changed, ethanol is continuing, so the big areas have continued to see, with the ethanol, have continued to see demand stay pretty good. I do think we have to go down, though, and find a level where we'll see some of the feed demand pick up and where exports will pick up for corn, and then I think the market's got to stay above that. So I still think we've got to get down into that 7, maybe that 685 level, which is the top of the gap that we formed, to see if demand comes back, and then we'll have to try to trade above it. But, we still need to have demand to chew through a few bushels. We have to ration it, but we definitely have been doing that for corn.
Mike, do you have a follow-up question for Randy?
Just kind of interesting, I think, that you talk about having to ration. We've got very tight stocks, but yet you think we have to go lower to get back some of that demand.
Not to get back the demand, to find out where it is so that we stay above that level. We do have tight stocks at $619 million. So, if all else stayed the same, we would, we stayed where we're at, the market would float through and we'd leave with 619 million bushels. According to what USDA is projecting. We still have to get a crop for next year, so price has to stay high enough. I expect this market to see a little bit more of a push in the spring as it tries to entice the Corn Belt producers to put corn on corn, and that's where I would look for corn prices to really start to spike to encourage that. It's not that we have to get demand back, it's that we have to find the level that brings demand back and then stay above it.
Andrea Johnson, do you have a question for Randy?
Yes. For farmers in Minnesota and North Dakota, Randy, what percent of their 2012 wheat and corn would you say is already priced, already being sent to a market?
For wheat, I would estimate somewhere like in the 60% area has been already marketed some way, somehow. For corn, it could be a little bit more. It could be, you know, closer to 70 for wheat. For corn, I'm thinking that it's going to be probably in that 50 to 60% area. Because of the better-than-expected yields everybody had, nobody was quite prepared for the yields that we got, and that's why we don't have as much harvested.
Okay.
Or, in stocks.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the livestock industry and, what are they going to be feeding? Are they going to be looking primarily at byproducts to continue to feed? Are they going to be, because I think the price where corn is right now, as you were talking with Mike, it's pretty high for livestock.
It is, and when you look at doing feed conversions, you can actually, 85% of the value of corn is where barley can be at, so you can replace barley pretty nice into a feed ration right now for the price of corn. There is going to be a lot more. I can speak for our farm. We are looking at a little bit different alternatives as far as feeding instead of using traditional corn. We're looking at some of the other byproducts. USDA is telling us that we're going to switch over and use a little more wheat this year, too, and that's why wheat feeding went up. That we'll primarily see down into the southern, in the winter wheat areas, and then also for the poultry in the soft red or in the delta areas. So right now it looks like wheat is taking some of that, and byproducts are going to take the other portion.
Okay, thank you very much.
With that, thank you, Randy. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
And thank you for all the questions to the media. Audio of the call will be available on our website later this morning. Additionally, MGX offers market commentary in both audio and text at mgx.com. Thank you for participating in this morning's call. Thanks to Randy for Guts of Ag for providing today's commentary. Next call will be November 9th, USDA WASDE. Have a good day, everybody.